really sure what the call is today, and he's going to preach a passage, mostly one Lord just felt like really strongly directed me to. I guess I'll call it Honor and Belief. Honor and Belief. Title means nothing anyway, so it's just what the words mean mostly. But in John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 17, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He knew what he was saying. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son, honors not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? You may be seated. Now thank you for standing. As every passage in the Bible is a great passage, I think we see the Lord Jesus Christ here speaking to the religious people. As I was witnessing to Camille yesterday, I was telling about, you know, religion is very dangerous. I said religion is where we get all our crazy ideas, and the people that Jesus had the most trouble with was with religious people. And by religious, I mean people that basically have some basic principles about God, and then they lean to their own understanding and serve God according to their own imaginations, according to and instead of what God says about Himself. You know, Jesus, just for example, Jesus said very clearly, "For my grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Yet there are billions of dollars made through religion because people are doing good works according to their own imagination, trying to be born again, trying to have a relationship with God. I think there'd be candles lit up all over town today, there'd be things bought, and placed before idols all over town, trying to earn some God of their own imagination's favor, rather than believing what God said about Himself, when He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, Jesus is going to say some things in this passage, particularly about honor and belief. This passage is very true to my heart. And when I went through a struggle some time ago, about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and God showed me how it was affecting my just believing on Him by the way I was honoring things. And I believe that our church has come to a place where we have people here with sincere desire that want to believe. They want to trust God. They want to do what the Bible says. But for some reason, you'll look at a truth, and I'll look at a truth, and we see the intellectual, we understand that this is the way to live. This is what would honor God, but something holds us back to that full commitment of what belief is, and I think we'll see a little bit of it in the scriptures today. Working our way, the first thing we're going to look at, number one, is the development of honor. The development of honor. Looking at verse 17 again, we see Jesus speaking again. He said, "Jesus answered, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Now, what's going to cause them initial trouble is they didn't have any problem believing in God the Father. And just like if any, all over the world, it has become popular to believe in a higher power, to acknowledge that there is a higher power, something that exists out there. And even some will go so far to say God the Father. But that is not the honor that really brings a person to the place where they can really believe in God, because He says right here, well, number one, the religious people had trouble with Jesus Christ because, according to what He was saying, He made Himself equal with God. And by the way, since Jesus never lied, He knew exactly what He was saying. He was equal with God. He and the Father were one, He says in different passages of Scripture. Now in verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. But what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show greater works than these, that ye may marvel." So what He's building here, everything that Jesus Christ was doing in accordance with the will of the Father, and He acted completely and faithfully to the Father's will, was trying to develop something in us. It was trying to cause us to see something, trying to bring us to the place that we would honor something, that we honor someone, and we see the culmination, or what the end result, what the end of all those things would were supposed to bring about in your life and my life. "For what things soever He doeth, these," I'm looking at verse 19, the last part, "For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these," notice this, "that ye may marvel." Marvel to the extent of what? Well, let's read a little further. "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth," the Father raises up the dead, quickeneth, makes them alive, "even so the Son quickeneth." The Son makes alive whoever He wants to. So just like the Father can raise the dead and make people alive, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, can do it also. Verse 22, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Why? To develop honor in us. Verse 23, "that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So God is trying to bring us to develop in us that we would honor, that we would esteem Jesus Christ, that we would value Jesus Christ as we would honor the Father. And if you're without Christ, maybe you don't even honor God the Father. And that needs to change too. And God would have that to change. And he's allowed you to see everything about creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. I was looking at Niagara Falls yesterday and just kind of staring and gazing and just kind of got choked up within myself. And I was first thanking God for all his wonder and splendor and all the wonderful things he's done for me. And I just said, Lord, would you please, before I die, help me to love you more than I love your stuff. I mean, I'm so thankful for this beautiful. I mean, I love looking at Niagara Falls. I love the different things about nature. But Lord, and I think about all the things you've given me, all the things you've done for me, and I just got choked up. And I said, Lord, help me to love you more than I love the things you do for me. And all these wonderful things, you know. But I can honor him for those things. I recognize who he is and his might. But help me to just have an attachment to him more than that. So he develops our honor, that we should honor the Son, that we should have our focus, our esteem, and our value from that. Reading further, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. So he that hears the words of Christ and believes on him that sent him, which is God the Father. That's why it says in Acts chapter 20, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a combination. You're repenting toward God. You're believing on him. You're believing on Christ also. They're all together. You're trusting in both. They're one and the same. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, the words of Christ, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. Now, if you honor Christ, that'll make your belief very easy, because you won't fear condemnation. Is it not Romans that said there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus? When our esteem is in Christ, when we value Christ, when Christ is exalted, we lift him up, there, we rest in the fact and our belief is strong and we're willing to stay the course and continue to do whatever God would have us to do, believing that we'll never be condemned, but it's passed from death unto life. Always, every time I read that verse, I think it was a guy who was a football player, and I can't remember his name. I remember the last, Ed Carter. I think he was playing college basketball or college football, and they were getting ready to go fly to play a game. And his mother called him. Somebody probably remember the story and said, "Don't." And she said, "Ed, don't get on that plane." And she said, "What?" She said, "No, I just." She said, "God told me you should not get on that plane." And here's a guy, he's on a college basketball or college football team, and all his friends are going to go play this game. And you know what he did? He listened to his mama. And he did not get on that plane, and that plane crashed, and all of them died on that plane except with him. And he got saved later, and he called his ministry From Death Unto Life, because God spoke to him, that he realized God saved his life, because his mom had been witnessing to him and praying for him for years. And when that happened, he understood that God saved his life, and he got saved, and he's brought from death unto life. He was an evangelist and preached all over the United States with Death Unto Life Ministries. And God is an amazing God. Can you imagine that? Hey, Ed, you going to the game with us? No, man, going. I mean, how come you're not going, man? Well, my mama told me not to get on the plane. Thank God, you know. Hey, the first commandment of the promise. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. I mean, are you glad he did? By the grace of God. Can you imagine this tough guy? What? You ain't going with your mama? Your mama said, what? Praise God. You know why? He has some honor in him. Thank God he honored. He didn't honor God at this point, but he honored and respected his mother. And that saved his life. And when you honor the God of heaven, you honor the Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of all the people that may ridicule you, in the midst of all the people that think you're crazy. I mean, can you imagine the backlash he probably got from all his friends about that? And can you imagine the fear? I wonder, you know, I mean, God have mercy on their souls. Who knows what state of spiritual being they were in. But can you imagine what went through their mind when that plane started to go down? And they thought that Ed was not with them because he listened to his mother. And they're thinking that we shouldn't got on that plane. And those that may have mocked him or said something against him were left speechless. And God always, any abuse you take for Jesus Christ, you know, I was, then God blesses you for it. Amen. So he said, that's why he said rejoice. And that leap for joy when you're persecuted for his name's sake. But we see here in the passage, getting back to the text here, verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear it shall live. And now you notice, and they that hear it shall live. For as the Father had life in himself, so had he given to the Son to have life in himself. I love God. I love the power of God, that he's self-contained. I mean, God's life didn't depend on anybody for anything. He's the I Am. He's the self-existent one. And you know, God has placed Christ in us to the measure that we can walk in the strength and stand alone and be a light, even in times when it seems like we're all by ourselves. But we're never by ourselves, especially as long as we have Christ within us. We're not at the same magnitude that God is, but God has put a strength in us to be able to be a light in any given situation. Verse 27, hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Well, how do you do good? The work of God, according to John 6:29, is to believe on him whom he has sent. That's all he asked for. Believe, believe, believe. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I heard a preacher say recently, if you're without Christ, he said, what is it? He said, what do you have to do to go to hell if you're not saved? There's only one thing, to stop breathing. It's kind of a sobering thought. It's kind of a fearful thought even to me to think about that. Not for myself, but for those that don't know Christ. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which you sent of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man. Now notice, number two, I call this in the destruction of honor. The destruction of honor. Jesus makes a statement. It's not something that he's doing, but he gives us the key what actually destroys the honor of Christ. In verse 34, he says, but I received not testimony from man. The testimony from man really means nothing. You know, the testimony of God, the word of God. We read, I think it was last service, but if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. When we speak, we need to speak of as the Word of God, according to the words of God and the Scriptures. Yes, we give our testimonies and things like that, but what really is going to save somebody finally is the hearing of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the Scriptures. And when we receive, Jesus is making it very clear that my direction, the things I've done, though I've had someone, though John has testified of me, I have not received testimony from John. I have not received testimony from man. My testimony, the things I'm telling you, have come directly from God himself. And, you know, and the gospel has been so confused because of so many things written about the gospel instead of people just preaching the gospel. You know, I got an email this week. Someone asked me to explain further about repentance, and because they looked at our website and you know, and there's so many things written about repentance, you know, and you know, there's only, and you can never, it's just really so simple. I mean, I can use whatever illustration I want to say, but when you hear the words, a word of God long enough, when Jesus said, turn ye, and well, in the Old Testament, it kept saying, turn ye, let the wicked forsake his way. That means to turn. And there's so many things, you can just other verses, and in 2 Corinthians, where it talks about, for godly sorrow, work of repentance unto salvation. You know, I can intellectually explain it to a point, but at some point, the Holy Spirit will give you the testimony from God Himself, and you'll understand what that means. And I can quote the verses, and I can break it down, but you know, at some point, there will be illumination from the Holy Spirit of God that says, oh, this is simple. And you know, when I got saved, I couldn't understand why I thought it was so complicated before. The Holy Spirit had made it simple. And when we do things for God, you know, as David said, don't have your eyes on people, have your eyes on Christ, and look at His example. You know, because, you know, if you really think about trying to live as a Christian, if you look at Christ who had nothing, he completely lived for other people, and He, in all situations, He gave, He loved, He forgave, He didn't condemn. He said, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Even a woman taken in adultery, you find nothing in the Bible that shows Christ looking upon this woman with disgust or contempt. In fact, He only spoke to those that spoke against her, that condemned her. If we looked at His example and patterned our lives after Him, it would be so very easy, and we would really just believe. But to take John 13 and to take the role of a servant, as Christ by example lowered Himself as much as he possibly could as a human being, to be naked and to wash the feet of the disciples, we want to see who else is doing that before we commit to believing. And if we look at the example of Christ. But this group has this group has that. But what is Christ doing? How did Christ live? Well, Christ, I've heard people say, well, Christ would, I mean, well, I don't think God's against me doing this or God's against me doing that. Well, you might be right, but let me ask you this, and let me ask me this. Is that the life that Christ lived? My Savior, the one that saved me, the one that rescued me, is that the life that He is living, that He lives? So, and pattern yourself there, keep your eyes there, and so many things will be easier for you and for me. But when we receive testimony from man, when we see, man, now his life looks like it's doing well, her life looks like it's doing well, I want my life to be like their life. No, it's not. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, I hope I'm a good testimony, and I hope I'm a good example, but I hope you never want your life to be like my life. I hope you want your life to be like Christ. And you know, that's probably one of the biggest mistakes we've made in religion. And I'll say even among Baptists, because we see the lifestyle of different people and we covet their lifestyle. We want to be a good Christian citizen, want to be a good this, and hey, they're following God, they're serving God, it looks like their life is doing well. Instead of stopping and saying, you know what, God may be blessing them, but maybe you're called to be that Isaiah that prophesies butt naked, and we talked about last week. hope not, amen. But maybe as you look at Christ and you follow Christ, Christ will lead you to do exactly what He wants you to do. Yeah, I still always think about my friend that I've told you about a few times. We just feel like that when God called him, he felt like God called him to preach. He was just supposed to leave everything and go. But he didn't do that. Why? Because in his denomination, which happens to be Independent Baptist, that's not the way you do it. He just felt like he's supposed to leave everything and just go on the streets and preach the gospel and preach Christ. I have no way of knowing if that was God's will for him or not. But I do see some people in the Bible that did actually do that. And it's only him and God know what he was supposed to do. I was talking to someone when we went to the United States recently. He was saying they just felt like God was calling him into further ministry. And he was talking to one of the men in the church. And he said, first thing you got to do is we got to put you in seminary. And He said, what do you think about that? I said, it doesn't matter what I think about it. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That means you can't get better than what the church is. And so why would you want to have a substitute? Amen. So you do whatever you want to do with that, and you read it, and you meditate on it, and you see what God wants you to do. Amen. But there again, the chest-wearing man said, this is the way you do it. Jesus said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Man says, baptize. Man says, keep the Ten Commandments. Man says, what's some other works that religion has thrown in there? Church membership. Keep the Sabbath day. You pick your poison, you might say. But Jesus, everything he told, this is what he said. I received my testimony from man. Verse 3, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Jesus is the truth and the life. And no man goes to the Father except by Jesus Christ. That's according to John 14:6. I didn't get that from any man. I got that from the Word of God. And I say that if you're without Christ, that you might be saved. If you're God's desire for you, if you've taken any time at all, as you see in verse 20, you've marveled at anything about God. God's desire for you is that you honor the Son, even as you honor the Father. But don't live your life before God in Christ based on the testimony received from man. Because if it's worth following, it is the Word of God you receive from man. Then they've only just repeated what God has said. They just simply said, thus saith the Lord. Because when you begin to receive testimony from man, you'll lose your honor. Because you'll just bounce from one Christian example to the next Christian example. When God says, just start with me. Start with me and stay with me, amen. Can't get better than that, amen. I'm so thankful. I remember Pastor Hardy, when I got saved, and I go to the council, he used to make me so mad. I go to his council, I'm thinking, I'm respecting this man. I want him to tell me exactly what to do. Hey, he said, I was in the military, and I'd managed places before then, and I'd been in charge of people, but I had no problem following people's instruction. I understood authority, and I was all for it. So life is easier for me that way. He said, well, I can make a few recommendations, but I said, here's a few verses, and then and you and God go sort it out, I said, he would say, well, if I'm in a situation, I might do this. But then he'd always throw this in there. Well, I can't tell you for sure what God's will is. but take time to find out. And Brother Norwood went the same way, I called him once in my second year. He said, I don't know. He said, I really don't care what you do. Just don't do something crazy. Just make sure you honor God. but thank God for that. To take time to receive the testimony from God himself. Number three, we read these verses, we'll go further. Now I call this one, comes from Christ. This is the determination of honor. The determination of honor. And this really goes the same with what he just said in verse 34, but in verse 41 he said, I receive not honor from men. I won't receive it. It means nothing to me. And that's where you can protect yourself from falling. What is that saying? Better than that, the Bible said the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Sometimes flattery, be careful if flattery moves you. Don't receive honor from men. Because man can tell you you're doing pretty good. And they not know your heart like God knows your heart. But man can tell you you're doing pretty terrible. And they not know your heart like God knows your heart. You can be doing better than you think you are if you receive the testimony from man. And you could be doing worse than you think you are if you receive honor from men. So that's what you want to receive from God only. It can go either way. Now, let's read the verses here. Verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has sent me to finish, the same works that I do. The same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. He said, the Father told you about me. He said, you neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent. Him ye believe not. So if you don't receive Christ, you don't have the word of God abiding in you. That's what he told them. That's what he told the religious people here. And he said, okay, you say you want to hold the scriptures, here's your answer. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, I'm not afraid for you to search the scriptures about what I'm saying. This is where you find the answer. And that's why we need to be confident enough, we should try to live our life biblical enough that we're open for examination. Because if the Christian example, if I'm doing something inconsistent with the Bible, I'd like to know it. That's one reason I do counsel people over different situations from my own personal life sometimes. When I'm getting ready to make a decision myself sometimes, I don't want to receive the testimony of man, but I want to talk to somebody that may give me a different Bible verse and make sure I'm heading the right direction. And even then, ultimately, there's safety in the multitude of counsels. I only do that because God says that. And then I still have to make my own decision. I still can't receive honor from them. I can't make a decision if it'll please them or honor them. I have to do what God wants me to do. And I only find that if I search the scriptures. And we need to be sure enough in the way we walk that if someone questions us, we can live like it says in what Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace are they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So hopefully today, in any day, if you question something you believe I'm doing from the scriptures, I should have great peace. I should not be offended. That's my commitment. That's my desire. And if I'm doing something that is having you struggle in the faith, I would beg you to talk to me about it. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. And my goal is such to where I really want to live by the Bible and not by the testimony of man. I willingly open myself up for you to examine me so that we all may be stronger in Christ and that Christ may be honored and as he deserves to be honored. So Christ, he determined that he would not receive honor from men. He would not receive esteem from men. He wouldn't get his self-worth from men. He wouldn't get his identity from men. He said, I receive not honor from men. And you should have that same determination. Some people would be near self-conscious if they didn't receive honor from men. That's why you're self-conscious, if you are self-conscious, because you receive honor from men. Because you're concerned what people think about you, what they say about you, how they view you. Instead of saying, no, I'm a child of God. God loves me. He saved me. God knows me as I am. He knows my uprising, my down-sitting. He still loves me, and he is still spending time with me. He's still working on me. He's developing me. And as I am, he still wants me to serve me. So it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. I'm going to live for God. What matters is what, but at the same time, it matters completely what God thinks about me. And if I'm firmly committed to that, then I will show forth the right thing amongst other people. Last of all, the desire of the honor. And you know, this is why Christ, this is what it's all about. All this in this passage. You know what Christ wants you to have the right type of honor? It is verse 44. He says, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? He wants us to believe. He says, how can you believe? Christ wouldn't spend time with these Pharisees because he didn't love them. He was mad at them for being dead religious people. He loved them. And he wanted them to believe. He said, but how can you? He said, really? He said, I said, you got information up here. He said, you know about the Father. You know about Moses. And But how can you believe as long as you receive honor one from another? He said, it just won't happen. And he said, he's letting them know this because he wants it to happen. So God's desire in developing our honor to the right way, that we honor Jesus Christ as we need to, and we not receive testimony from man, and that we be determined not to receive honor from men, is that we might believe. Think of how many things, I think in the world sometimes, how many things shape people's lives other than the Bible. The way you plan your future, is it based on honor of men? Is it based on honor of God? Hey, physical appearance. Was it based on testimony from man? Or was it based on what God said? Everything we do. Hey, the way you live, your relationship with God, is it based on what you heard somebody say about it? Or is it biblical? Is it, I'm pursuing God according to this, you know? Hey, you want to be filled with the Spirit? Is it by reading X number of books and getting a 12-step program, whatever it is, the 12 steps of being a great Christian, or is it speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord? God made it simple. You know, God didn't put it, when God said be not drunk with wine, wherein is an exit, but be filled with the Spirit, he didn't put some strange religious formula down there. He said, hey, speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You think about it, why does Satan fight us to sing anything except what God wants us to sing about? Why is music a billion-dollar industry that we can fight against the songs of God? Satan is no idiot. He's smart. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. I remember one day, my wife rebuked me, and I didn't really appreciate it at that time. But I've always been kind of an emotional person. As far as motivated, you know, and I was getting ready for church one morning, and I can't remember what I said to her, but I said something questioning her spiritual condition that morning. This was several years ago before we came to Canada, by the way, and I was saying something. Well, when I used to hang turkeys, I used to always they would always say, "Hit, preacher, hit," you know, and when I was motivated, whenever sometime I would be kind of down, I would think about it because the guys would encourage me. I mean, hit my shackle and then grab the birds. And so that morning, somehow I was in the shower and I was singing something, and then I started saying, "Hit, preacher, hit," you know. And so my wife says, "So that was real spiritual in the shower, saying, 'Hit, preacher, hit,'" you know, or something like that. And I'm glad she rebuked me, because you know what it showed me? It showed me how easily that I can be filled with motivation, but not necessarily be filled with the Spirit. Because just because, and brother, I was talking to Brother Unger one time, he said enthusiasm is not a fruit of the Spirit. So it's not wrong to be excited about what we're doing. But in fact, we should be zealous about what we're doing. That means that there is a motivation and there is a desire. But you know, you can be enthusiastic and still not be spiritual. And that's the message God gave me that morning, because I was enthusiastic, but I wasn't necessarily spiritual. You know, God, I thought, it showed me that I was in the flesh, because those thoughts revealed to me of thinking of something that I was getting ready to do. Because when they said, "Hit, preacher, hit," it motivated me to bring out something within me to work when I didn't feel like I could work. And it spoke to me, revealed to me that, man, here I am enthusiastic. I'm getting ready to try to do something for God. I think we're in a deputation. Do you remember that? She don't remember those things like that, because she's such a gracious wife. She don't remember when she has to tell me things that get my mind straight sometimes. But I thought, you know, I was taken aback, and I thought, wow. Just because I'm quote-unquote in a good attitude, doesn't mean I'm spiritual. And I thought, here I am. God helped me through that. And that's why God simply says, speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you know, I'm amazed at how even on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon, getting ready for service, I can be singing a song for the Lord And all of a sudden a thought of some song back from years ago would come to my mind at the same time. And I have to battle. Sometimes I've sung a Christian song and then a word come to mind for them, and I just, Lord, why did I? And I say, Lord, why did that come to my mind? Father, forgive me. Would you pray for my mind? But God's whole desire is that we believe. Like I started out, I really believe. Maybe I'm just dumb or just naive, but I just believe that there's a great number of people in this room that want to believe. And God said, how can you believe? And he said the same thing to me. If we receive honor one from another, our self-worth doesn't come from what we think about each other. That if we treat you like Christ, we're going to love one another. And our self-worth, my self-worth as a pastor doesn't come by what other pastors think about me as a pastor. It used to. And I'm not saying, I don't mean it callously to think that I don't care about the brethren. I love the brethren. But you know, whenever, if I'm looked to have my honor from them, then guess what? I'm going to be like them. And even if they're good, faithful Christians, they're not the perfect example. Christ is the perfect example. Because what really should happen is you see a Christian, and if there's something that motivates you about them, it should motivate you to want to know God in a greater way. I'm always concerned. I ask myself this question when I see another Christian that I feel like encourages me, or another preacher or something, that am I encouraged because they give me hope that I can have something that they have? Or they give me hope because I can know God in a greater way and be a more faithful servant? Because we have to understand, because if we are everything God wants us to be, whatever your life is right now, it could become worse in an earthly situation, earthly speaking. But eternally, it may skyrocket. Because you may have an impact on someone you'll never know this out of eternity. But it lasts for eternity when people are saved. It could go the other way. It could affect you right now in the temporal sense, and you there because of a proper relation with God. God may use you in a way temporally, and it may accompany some temporal thing. But I think God knew what he was saying in Ephesians when he said, yea, and all who love God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to have some persecution with it, even if there is some type of temporal things that bless your life, so to speak. So we have to understand when we're pursuing God and we're trying to believe God, it cannot be without the cross. Because we take the cross daily. And there's not one moment on the cross that I think Christ said, man, this is good. This is good. And I think that, you know, you think about the cross and what Jesus said about taking up the cross daily, it makes sense why God said it's better to go into the house of mourning than to the house of, I think, mirth, I think is what it says. Because that's the life of the cross. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus went to the cross. I mean, I have hope because of the cross. I don't have hope in stuff. I have hope in Christ and I have hope eternal. Because everything, hope in this side, can go away. But anyway, I don't want to go around myself here. But honor and belief. Where's your honor today? Is your honor upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed on Christ? If you have, how's your honor for Christ? Have you allowed it to be destroyed? Is the testimony of man, does it move you more than the testimony of God? Where do you get your honor from? Do you receive honor from people? Christ said he said I receive not honor from men. I mean, that means somebody makes you a compliment. You don't have to blow the doors off or something, but be wary of how good it makes you feel if you get a compliment from someone. If they say something honorable about you. Beware if you're looking for it or listening for it. That's where the trouble is. By all means, we should honor one another. We should love one another. we should appreciate each other. But don't live for that. I think Jack Howell said something. I was listening to his message some time ago, and I listened to it again called Mystical Live Within Your Means. And I was praying about that, I think, a couple months ago, and I was thinking, Lord, I wish I could thank you for that. He did. I don't agree with everything about the person, but God didn't agree with everything about me. So, but he said, live within your means concerning love. Because the whole message was basically about being content with whatever you have. He said, because if you're a faithful, loving Christian, if you live out the love of Christ, this side of eternity, most likely you won't receive that type of love in return. Because most people aren't committed to that type of love. And by the way, when you think you're loving that much anyway, you're proud anyway. So God can help you all types of ways anyway. But when you think you're giving a lot, you think you're loving a lot, you think you're doing a lot, just love. Just give and enjoy. Enjoy the privilege of loving. But that helped me, you know, because we all go through periods sometimes where we kind of look at things and think, you know, maybe you should get a little more in return or something like that. I say we all, maybe it's just me. I just being honest. Those thoughts don't cross my mind because for the most part, I just like giving. I was in one of those times where I wasn't speaking to myself in songs and hearing the spiritual songs and Satan is saying, what's this all for, man? And so when you love, whatever love you get, that's all you get. Husbands, wives, whatever love you get, that's the love you get. Don't look elsewhere for it. Live within your means. Because once you get married, and once you are married, that's the amount of love that you're supposed to have. And you have to live with it. Make sure you give all you've got, but whatever you get, accept it. That's all I got. And be thankful. Hey, whatever money you got, live within your means. That'll keep you out of debt. All different things. There's so many different ways, but the application I got was just, because the reason I say that, because sometimes as Christian people, we really look to have more from what we do for Christ than Christ actually received. We really think we should have it better than Christ actually had it. And that's one of the reasons we want to receive honor from men, and we want to receive the testimony of men, because we look at the life of Christ. If we'll just be honest, who really wants to die like Jesus died? Stripped naked, mocked, scourged, not one, you know, I think about different funerals and so many thankful things were said, you know, not one thankful word at the death of Christ. I just read a passage today, how they followed him, and he said he healed them all. He healed them all. He fed the multitude. Not one thankful word is death. Now, who really wants that? And you know what the reality is? We need to know God enough to already believe that we want that. Not necessarily to imitate the death, but I mean to walk with Christ into whatever he wants us to do. And there again, commune with your own heart. See, what I'm saying, if this were a cult, it could be very dangerous, because you would think that I'm going to put up some principles and say, let's all do this and go die together. That's what cults do. They establish rules and say, okay, this is what we all have to do to be faithful to God. And they give you exactly, piece by piece, exactly. But see, God said, no, you just commune with your own heart. And you look at Christ. And you let Christ lead you. And you follow him. And you read his word. And it may take you to the cross. And if you go, and praise God for it. It may take you to the jail cell. It may take you to be beaten like the disciples. They rejoice and they're counted worthy. But you know what? The greatest thing of all is to be the same for everybody, no matter what we're called to do. It'll cause us all to believe. And then, by the grace of God, every single believer will leave behind this handicapped Christian life. I mean, no disrespect to people that have disabilities, but this handicapped Christian life where God is so limited and we just can't We just can't. We just can't. We just can't. And instead of saying, you know, God is able. And all things are possible. You know, you can go to the cross and like it if you believe. You can be beaten like the disciple. You can be in jail for Christ and like it if you believe. You can love, as Paul said, and the more you love, the more abundantly you be not loved and you like it. Because you'd be, just be glad you're an instrument of love. That's what you're used for. That's what you're used for. And you can give and give and give, and you can give to people, and nobody be there to give when you feel like you have a need, except with God. And that's where He wants you anyway, by the way. You get it all from Him. And you like that place. I've laughed some different times of the year, different financial situations we've been in times past. Although, I can't believe I'm happy right now. Going in those storms and things going on, and I'm thinking, man, so many people would be like stressed or worried, and then those times we think, man, God just gave us everything. But that's because of believing. Do you have anything in your life right now that you need to believe God for? You're going to have to make the decision not to receive testimony from man. You're going to have to make the decision that this is where your values for life is going to come from. If not, don't be surprised when you don't believe. And you're going to have to make the decision that you're not going to receive honor from men. And that means, I mean, it can be anybody. You know, Brother Wheeler is probably my closest friend in the ministry, but I can't receive honor from him. Because when I do, I try to do things that will please Brother Wheeler and to make Brother Wheeler think well of me. And I'm even, and I think he's a faithful Christian, a faithful preacher, but I'm on dangerous ground when I do that. Because Brother Wheeler, he really is a friend to me, and guess what I found out? He'll love me at all times. So I just need to set my eyes on Jesus Christ, receive honor from Him, and when God says that that's the thing to do and I've done it, Lord, that pleased You. Thank You, Lord. Nobody thought it was good, but I, Lord, I know You led me to do that, and so I pleased You, so I receive Your honor. And I'm happy that I did. And it works the same way everybody. You know, and we'll all be much more content. And you'll go. And you know what? We'll be all. We should rename the church. We should call it Mountain Moving Baptist Church. Amen. Because God wants us to be able to move mountains, you know, instead of just moving molehills, you know. Instead of, well, I can handle that, you know. Instead of. But you know, even that the name wouldn't mean anything without the power of His name. But I want everybody to have what Christ wants you to have, which is the life of believing. And we all get so moved and we don't really realize it. I was reading Isaiah today, I think it's chapter 5, where it said, beware when you move house to house and row to row. And I was thinking, I said, this is Toronto. Everybody's so close together. And he was talking about how things corrupt when everybody's just so close together. And you know, it's in every major city, it really gets, you know, really big. I mean, it's always known. It always becomes known at some point for its lewdness, its immorality. Those are always seen the places where immorality has the freest reign. You know, and when you get so people so close together, because people are coming together, why? We want to be together. Want to be together. Receive honor one from another. Now, guys, I want us to go live on confines or compounds, but you know, I was thinking, you know what our church, our motto should be? I mean, since, well, I want our church can grow so we can go. We should grow and go at the same time. As we grow, some should continually go. Grow and some go to China. Grow, some go to the Philippines. Grow and some go to Africa. Grow, some go to North Side of Toronto. Grow and some go to Scarborough. Grow, some go to Markham. Start churches. and to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we grow, go. Grow and go. And there were, hey, do you think there's so many lost people around here anyway? Around the world? And if we grew like that, continue to go, people are going to go out, who knows what God would do?